Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the game of roses.
Welcome to the game of roses.
This is paradise. This is how to save that cherry paradise.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. Today is Tuesday, and we have a very special episode planned today.
Yes, we've been teasing it.
We
as far as the working document.
That's right.
It's been in our minds for ages.
We're going to read to you now the working document and discuss all the writings therein. This document pertains to Bachelor in Paradise Season 10, which may or may not be happening.
Heard of it?
Bachelor in Paradise Season 9 was an unmitigated disaster. We all know this.
A poop baby.
It was a poop baby within a poop baby. We know that its ratings were the worst in the history of Bachelor in Paradise. We know that it had a massive lead-in ratings show in Golden Bachelor Season 1, and then it dropped about half of those viewers.
Couldn't retain half for a show from the same franchise about dating.
That aired immediately preceding it. All people had to do was leave their TVs on, but half of those people said, no thank you, I'm turning my TV off.
I'm going to get up.
And going to do anything else.
Or lift the remote.
Or I'm going to watch something else even. It was just terrible.
Click with my eyeballs if you're Clues.
That's correct.
That's how he changes his TV.
I wish.
And he has a butterfly tattoo.
Maybe one day. But the idea that Bachelor in Paradise Season 9 was so bad that ABC may not order a season 10 is very real. We don't know if that decision has been made yet. I tend to think it has not. I think they are very likely going to see what's happening in Gen Trans season to see what kind of guys they might be able to pull into a new season, and maybe they'll give it another shot. But right now, it hasn't been renewed.
The idea that Bachelor in Paradise is canceled is not real to me, to be clear. I refuse to believe this.
Yeah, it is very real to many people at this point. Look, all you got to do is look at the tell-all from Grazia Day season, the women tell-all. Usually in that women tell-all, Paradise is thrown around. Sometimes people are actively invited on the show, or they announce that they will be going on Paradise. In that women tell-all, they did not even utter the word Paradise.
Well, maybe it's too far in advance of Paradise, because we've got Golden, we've got Golden Bachelorette, you know, too many shows.
But I would assume it's going to do, it would be the same airing schedule.
You think you do 9 seasons and you're not going to do a Bachelor in Paradise 10?
If the numbers ain't there, if it doesn't make sense financially, if the budget is higher than the money it will bring in, they ain't making it. That's it.
I don't think any of this makes sense financially to me.
What do you mean? Any of what?
They're still doing it. No. TV ads.
Right. But that's just because there's like an antiquated kind of like advertising industry that is still like, well, TV ads worked for me when I was a young ad exec in 1954, yeah. So I'm going to keep doing it.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Whatever.
I mean, ratings across network TV are dwindling, but Bachelor in Paradise was specifically bad.
It was bad, is the point.
Yeah, exactly. And so what Pace Case and I...
No one got any gains from that season, although the season before arguably could have been a poop baby as well.
That's true. It's steadily gotten worse and worse and worse over the past 3 seasons or so.
Creamy Caesar led to poop baby.
Yeah, the Creamy Caesar, all of that. But what Pace Case and I are going to try and do here today is make an episode that hopefully the producers will listen to. And please, these are free ideas. We are telling you how to save Bachelor in Paradise. If you do these things, it will give you a new show.
How to save Bachelor in Paradise.
So shall we just jump into this, Pace Case?
Yes.
We've got a list of things here. And
let's go.
Make no mistake.
Let's get into the working document.
What we are pitching here, what we are presenting, is an extensive overhaul. This is essentially a new show. And it is exactly what you need to counteract the ill effects of Bachelor of Paradise Season 9 that, in my mind, it killed the show. That was a funeral for Bachelor in Paradise. And what you now need is a phoenix rising from the ashes, a corpse rising from the grave, if you will.
A rebrand.
In a splendid new outfit. Yes, a rebrand. So let's begin. The first thing on our list is you need a new location. Playa Escondida was great, but it's done now. We, the fourth audience, when I say we, I mean the fourth audience collectively, all of us watching the show in the pit, in the nation.
Me and Clues.
Yeah, just us, just me and Pace Case. We associate the old location with all the most recent seasons of the show, which are all presented as cheap and torturous. We need a new luxurious location. We know you got the money for it after Grazie.
Where we haven't seen someone presumably pee on camera into the sand.
Yes.
They've talked about how the day beds have been there for years and years. Like, It needs to go. And I think we have precedent for it now.
I agree.
They're moving Bachelorette.
Yes. I think that you have to treat the location of Paradise with the same reverence that you treat the locations of Bachelor. When you're going around the world and staying at these extravagant hotels in Paris or wherever, we know Jen's season, a bunch of it's going to be in New Zealand and Australia. You have to make the location of Paradise feel like that. You have to make it a place people want to go. The whole show should be like...
It's called Bachelor in Paradise.
Exactly.
It's not supposed to be a joke.
Yes. Somehow over the course of the last 3 or 4 seasons, it did become a joke that Paradise was hell on earth. It can't be. It needs to be a high-end resort location, or at least like a nice mansion that you rent on a beach that can house all of the people. The whole show should be one big fantasy suite date in a nice tropical location.
If there are crabs... Just don't show the crabs.
Exactly.
Don't show the crabs in people's rooms.
Don't show people being tortured in any way.
Just pretend they're only outside.
I completely agree. They turned paradise, that location, it became something of a character unto itself in the last few seasons, where it was like, oh, mm-hmm. It's so hot. There's all these bugs. There's all these crabs. We have to sleep on these day beds. And it just didn't look fun.
It magically animated a suitcase.
God. We'll get to that. We'll get to the comedy team. That's one of our things that need to be changed as well. But the basis of this...
No spoilers.
The basis of this new location is really that it needs to be a place people want to go, not a place people survive.
Mm-hmm. It should be a lovely tropical location. You have Love Island. Sometimes those seasons are set like overlooking the ocean in Spain.
Yeah.
Like they're not at somewhere that is advertised as kind of disgusting. Perfect match. They're staying in a nice building.
All of the other all-star shows do it better, period, yeah, in terms of location. And it's like, if you want a show that is competitive with a Perfect Match, with a Love Island, yeah, with any of these other shows, Too Hot to Handle, it has to be like that. It's got to be at least that good.
You're competing with them for the ratings, but you're also competing with them for the cast members.
Yes.
Where are the cast members going to want to go? Love is Blind seems a lot easier to do than going on Bachelor.
Yeah, it's true.
Especially if you're trying to get gains.
Yeah.
Speaking of switching things up, our second change we would like to enact to save Bachelor in Paradise is a new intro. Get rid of the 40-year-old song Almost Paradise by Mike Reno from Loverboy and Ann Wilson from Heart 1984 for the Footloose soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Fun facts. Get rid of the player intros that mimic a 40-year-old sitcom, Three's Company. Make this shit sexy, not goofy. Get a new song that's maybe even an original song just for Paradise. I would like this intro to be shorter. I would be okay if the intro was just what they're doing for Bachelor now and Golden Bachelor.
Yeah.
A dramatic scene. I don't need a song.
I kind of like the song because to me,
mm-mm,
I want it to be like a party type thing. I want an EDM song made by a big EDM artist of contemporary times. And I want it to feel like a beach party, you know, quick shots of like,
Taylor Swift.
I wouldn't go with Taylor Swift. I would go with some kind of EDM like dance song.
I think we could get her.
Because you want it to feel like, oh, it's these young, hot people out here dancing to their EDM on the beach, getting drunk, falling in love. That's to me what it should be. You need to get Rez or somebody up in here.
When has EDM ever been a part of Bachelor in Paradise?
Never. That's what I'm saying. Update it. They're using a song that was on the radio in 1984.
I mean,
that's insane.
I did not know the song.
You don't know Almost Paradise?
I mean, I knew it from Bachelor in Paradise.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. No, it was a big hit on the radio. And those two people, why I put that information in there, Mike Reno and Ann Wilson from Loverboy and Heart. Those are two gigantic bands from the 80s. And they kind of came together to form this super duo to make that song. It was a very big song, no doubt about it. But the idea that you're now using it as a theme song on a dating show 40 years later, it's, again, we've been through this a bunch with all the different things, like when they try to do the Claire Crawley promo that was mimicking
Mrs. Robinson.
Yes, it's just like that doesn't work. No one who is under, like I'm 47 years old, nobody who is even, I would say, 35 or under knows what the hell this song is. And certainly, they don't get the reference that you're trying to do a funny joke on the video component of it, of people like, you know, looking into the camera with a silly face and their name pops up. That's a parody of the Three's Company opening, which is a sitcom that is also 40 years old. No one gets these references. No one cares. It makes your show feel old and dusty. You got to get rid of it.
I'll be under 35 for a month and I don't get it. Here's my main problem, though. It is too long. I don't like how long it is. It's boring. Like, sometimes I'm amused by the intros, but I would like it to be shorter.
Mm.
We have TikTok attention spans. Give it to me straight. I want to just... I'm sorry. I think in all ways it should be elevated to the main game. I think it's not... I think it's still sexier, but it's not less elevated. And they treat it like it's this shittier cousin of the main game.
I agree. And it shouldn't be that. This is your all-star game. I do think that they could make a title, like 10 seconds maybe is all you need with it, just to make a vibe, just to let us know that, like, oh shit, what is this? The old Three's Company thing's gone. The old song from 1984 is gone. It's like some kind of upbeat new contemporary song. The visuals are like, they look nice. Ooh. It's not people getting hit in the head with coconuts. And
I'm starting to get a pep in my step.
All this shit. See?
I'm getting off the couch. I'm dancing out the door.
Yes, exactly. It just gets you in that mood to be like, oh shit, this is fun. What's going on here? It's not, who was it? Deanie Baby's Ungler coming out of a pool and spitting water at the camera. Remember that one?
There have been way worse ones.
It's not DLP throwing a burrito to Wells Adams, who we'll get to in a minute.
Okay, that might be the worst one.
You know, you can't have that. It's like when you do that,
I thought it was a hoagie for so long and I was so confused.
I think it's a burrito or just like a rolled up quesadilla. I'm not sure.
It is a burrito. It is.
You just can't have that. If you want us to take the relationships on the show seriously, you yourself, the creators of the show, the people making the show, must also take the show seriously. And that's what that opening intro should convey. And it is what was conveyed in Bachelor Season 28, like you're saying, with those just like, here's a clip from the third act. You better watch to see what happens.
A really dramatic moment.
Yes.
You get hit with that, like, I don't know, adrenaline, some sort of something, and then you got to get back there.
I don't know if that exactly works for Paradise, though, because it works very well in Bachelor because you're following one story. You're following the Bachelor story or the Bachelorette story. And there's a bunch of other characters that come in and out of it and who's going to wind up as a ring winner and all that. But in Paradise, it's like there's multiple pieces like kind of moving in an array. I feel like you want to just drop a tone in and be like, this is going to be a fun one. You know, I don't know.
I think one clip, even if it's a couple you don't remember or whatever, if it's dramatic enough, I think that's interesting.
Fair enough.
Speaking of what's interesting to us as the fourth audience, me and Clues, our third item on this working document is no players from any seasons before the most recent two. Ooh, this is going to be tough for them.
I know.
Because they love to just make fun of someone who was a night one person.
Chris Bukowski can never be brought back. I'm sorry to say. This is...
Well, he can't because he found true love.
Supposedly. This to me is...
How dare you?
No, I wish him nothing but the best.
Bukowski and Anna Redmond are endgame.
Perhaps. We will see. Time will tell. But this to me is... It's a commitment to a hard reset. The most recent seasons, I'm talking about Bachelor in Paradise season 7, 8, and 9, were all of them disastrous. And we don't want to see those people anymore. What Grazia Day's season has done is reset the main game. And I think Jen Tran is going to continue that reset as well. All we want to know and all we want to see are players from those two seasons. Stay with the reset. Stay with the players who got you the highest ratings. You have superstars coming out of Grazia Day's season that deserve the right to play in Paradise. And you probably will in Jen Tran season 2. Yeah.
And that's who we want to see. We want to see Daisy. We want to see Maria. We want to see Rachel. These superstars are why we got those higher ratings. And you're going to give us the cast we want. And... it will also be easier for the couples to not know each other because they won't have seen the most recent season.
Yeah, none of Grazia Day's players will have seen any of the guys from that season. So it will literally be people meeting each other for the first time, which I think would be fantastic. But it also is...
Everyone's on kind of more of an even playing field.
Absolutely. It's also an implicit commitment from the producers, essentially saying, we acknowledge... Seasons 7, 8, and 9 of Paradise were terrible. We get it. And we're moving on. The specter of those seasons cannot be brought into the new product. You need to make a clean break, a hard reset. The show has to look different. It has to be in a different place, different titles, different song. And all the players have to come from this new renaissance era of The Bachelor. Do not go back into the dark days of 7, 8, and 9 Bachelor of Paradise. We just don't want to see it. I don't want to see... Rodney Matthews leaving the show and everybody breaking down sobbing. I don't want to see anybody who had to go through split week or deal with Sally's suitcase or the truth box or any of that shit. It was all bad. Leave it in the past.
Not only that, but I want to see Fortiara relationships. And yeah, it's so hard watching the most recent seasons because the Fortiara couples, the ones that get engaged, almost all of them, to me, feel like they've already been dating or they knew each other somehow or DMing or whatever. And I think that when you're staying true to the premise of the show, it's that these people are all the all-stars and they're meeting each other for the first time here to see if there's a connection. And we, the fourth audience, get to see it from an inception.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I agree 100%.
And it to be for TRR.
I agree. It helps. I totally agree with you. It is more true to the nature of the show. And the producers always blame like, oh, well, they were meeting at Coachella and Stagecoach and they were DMing each other. Like it's the player's fault for using a cell phone, which we'll get to in a minute. That's another thing on this list.
And going to Stagecoach.
Yeah, it's not the player's fault for that. That's whatever. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's move on.
We just love festivals.
Who doesn't love a good festival? Me.
Even if it gives you COVID. As honestly, I had forgotten that and someone brought it up in the live because I was sad I wasn't going to Coachella and they were like, didn't you get COVID from Coachella last time? I was like, oh yeah, I did.
So now you've just blocked that part of it out of your mind.
That was the first time I ever got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Let's move on. Our fourth.
Yeah. Let them go to the festivals. Ugh.
Sponsor the festivals.
God.
Yes. Stagecoach, in my opinion, should be sponsored by Bachelor.
Film it.
Bachelor presents Stagecoach.
Film it, you cowards.
All right, let's move on. Our fourth item.
Stagecoach is the new Olympics. Olympic Village.
Oh, we heard that today in our live as well. Our fourth item here on the list is all players arrive on day one. Holding players back to manufacture these kind of weak early season love triangles, meaningless. We all see through it. Nobody in the fourth audience cares or wants this to happen. And by doing this, a lot of times you invalidate the actual relationships that could form, which you want to last till the end of the show. That's what the show is about. Because you have people treading water or like, I need to play this person until the person I really want shows up.
Mm-hmm.
If you give everyone the...
You end up with a Brendan and Natasha situation.
Exactly. Which is...
They're forced to.
And that was one of the worst moments of the last three seasons. It really, to me, was kind of the pinnacle moment of like, oh, they don't know how to make this show. If you give every player the most time possible to fall in love and you make sure that you're making an environment conducive to that, you're going to get 4TR relationships at the end. No split weeks. No truth boxes. No fucker flea round. We'll get to that a little bit later. But it's the big benefit of this, in my opinion, is you don't get the useless 10-minute sequences of people showing up at the top of the stairs and saying hello to Jesse and then walking down the stairs and, oh God, who's coming? There is no drama in this. It is a complete waste of time and real estate in your edit.
The only drama is the creatures that they cut back and forth between them walking down the stairs.
Is it going to be the lizard or the bird?
Just like the intro sequence, we don't need the walking down the stairs montage. It gets us nothing.
And it just feels old. Again, it's very much like the intro. It feels like an old sitcom. It just is like dusty and it just feels out of touch. This isn't what this show is about. It's not about like, oh my God, who's coming down the stairs? We all know the entire cast list before the show ever comes out.
Yeah. Do I need to wait? Like, don't make them have to weigh the timing of like when they're with someone or, oh, I don't want to get with this person because this person might come. Let them go talk to their first choice right away. Let's see.
Exactly. It like I kind of understand it in the beginning phases of this game. I get it, you know. You have to have some structure, some like narrative structure to hang everything on. A person shows up, they have a date card, they go on a date. Will they stay with that person or find another person? I get all of that. And it seems to work okay.
The love triangle.
Yeah, or a love triangle part of that as well. It just doesn't work. And you wind up with situations like Ivan Hall and Alexa Ray Caves, where you have sequestered somebody for the entire 2 weeks. They never get to come to Paradise, but the person that wanted them to come there is like, well, shit, I need to talk to him anyway. They sneak out of the room to go talk to him, and then you have to reprimand them. How dare you go against this. It's like, isn't this show about helping me find love? That's the person that I think I might have a shot with. Can I please talk to her? It's just dumb.
She got caved.
She got caved, unfortunately. But for my money, this is like one of the most important things. You can't have these staggered entrances. You need 10 guys, 10 women, 20 players total. They're all there all the time. And they all start from the very beginning. None of these entrances. And if you really want to do like entrances, it's like we were talking about earlier. You do the airport thing. You have them like how excited they are to be getting on the plane to go to paradise.
Yes. We're almost like the cast intro where they're filming themselves. I think that they're starting to do little tastes of that. Mm. They did, you know, ready and rolling for the after the final rose of just like stepping outside the show. I think they need to do that more. And then in that way, if you're starting with the airport, it just like it feels more real. And you're kind of like, oh, we're going on this fun adventure. Not like, I mean, when they come down staggered, I'm always thinking about the ones who are trapped in the hotel still.
Me too. Me too.
You know, I'm like, and it's so mean. Like whoever is last sand, like it's horrible to watch.
Yeah, it's a waste. It's a waste. And it's also not, there is no suspense in who's showing up on the beach. We all know. As soon as the cast list is solidified, it's all over the internet. We all know, literally, all 40 people that are going to show up there. There is no suspense.
And so do the players.
Exactly. There's no point in doing this anymore. It is a really, at this point, it just feels antiquated and like you're treating the fourth audience like we're stupid.
Yeah, like it's just like out of habit or something.
And it's never fun to watch a show like that for any reason, in my opinion. Shall we move on, Pace Case?
Speaking of fun, our number five item on the list is incorporate players from other games. Get some Love is Blind people on the show. Get Love Island people on the show. Use players from other franchises so you're backdooring those audiences into Bachelor Nation. We're seeing other shows already doing this, just not the dating shows yet. But someone will, and it should be Bachelor. Blaze a trail here. Set the standard. Don't get caught in a position where another franchise does this and steals a player from your player pool first. Whoever does this first is going to win the game, and everyone else loses that game. And celebrate the other franchises in it. We did not like to see when Love is Blind was not saying Bachelor when they were interviewing Blake Horseman at the reunion. They let him show up, but didn't let him say Bachelor. Acknowledge the other games. Give them their credit. We all do as a fourth audience. We watch all of these shows. We don't care which network is making the show. Mm-hmm. We watch them all. We love them all. The first franchise that is going to accept this fact is going to explode in popularity.
100%. We are seeing it.
Which I kind of see it in Traitors already.
Yeah, Traitors has set the blueprint. You should be seeking out the superstars from other games. Mm-hmm. Like what they did with Jess Vestal, who has she hit a million? I'm checking right now. She was at 900 and something.
When are you not checking?
I'm always checking. That's just my nature. Jess Vestal is currently at 950K. She is going to be on Perfect Match Season 2 with Harry Jowsey.
Let's go.
She will be well over a million. Now,
that photo of them together in the ocean, iconic.
Absolutely. I mean, Harry Jowsey, too hot to handle. Into Perfect Match. Get Harry Jowsey on Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
You want the biggest stars you can have.
I mean, he's also become an even bigger star because he joined the Call Her Daddy network.
Yes. God, I know. I'll say this. There's something that happens in these franchises. I was talking to Will about this regarding WWE. Both The Bachelor and WWE were run by guys who at one time loved the thing they were running. Loved wrestling, loved like Mike Fleiss when he created The Bachelor. I think he loved reality TV. Then at a certain point, something happens. That thing gets so big that the person at the top of it feels like they have to control it, that it's theirs, and they choke the fucking life out of it. Mm-hmm. And then they get removed because horrible, bad, problematic shit pops up, and investigations reveal this person can no longer be trusted around other human beings, and they get removed from the franchise. And as a result, the vacuum gets filled, hopefully, with people who love the thing again.
And we get a Grazia Day season.
Exactly.
A phoenix rising from the ashes.
Yes. Because it's like the toxicity gets pulled out. That idea of like, fuck it, I have to control everything gets pulled out. And I'm hopeful that that is the case if they're going to make another Paradise. That the people in charge don't have that toxic need to control. And that feeds right into getting players from other games. I get it. Bachelor's its own thing. But let Bachelor be the franchise that absorbs all of these other franchises into the All-Star game. Because like Pacecase was saying,
we all want it. People are constantly asking for Love is Blind people to be the Bachelorette.
Absolutely. And it is something that, look, whether you want to do it or not, some franchise is going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not The Bachelor, The Bachelor's All-Star Game is gone. You will then just become a feeder league to their All-Star Game.
I mean, can you imagine if they made Jess Vestal The Bachelorette?
It would be gigantic. And that just requires a little open-mindedness on the parts of the producers to be like, oh, these other shows are valuable too. They are not our competition, even though they are, but you have to have the idea that they're not.
Even if the people are already famous from a show, it doesn't mean that they don't have relationships or will have relationships for the camera. Either way.
Of course. Of course. But I mean, to even bring them into your product, into the game that you're asking them to play, I understand that there is this idea of like, no, Bachelor Nation is Bachelor Nation and fuck these other shows. But that ain't how it is now. Bachelor Nation started all this stuff, but there's a lot more of it now. And all these people are, to us, the people who watch Bachelor, they are just as interesting, just as entertaining. And if you can bring those worlds together and be the first ones to do it, you got us locked in for life. Must be done.
Look, you got Clues and I locked in for life anyway, but a lot of other people might go away.
Speaking of people going away.
Or find it in the first place. Nice.
Our number six item on this list is...
Clues, you know I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly, but that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi is a game-changing whole body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their they have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use. A lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH-balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a high level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire. They don't have bulky fabrics. And they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. You got to get rid of the comedy team responsible for Poop Baby and Sally's Suitcase. A little comedy is like fine, but it can't be contradictory to making the players look hot. It just can't.
Heads must roll for this.
I agree. No more creamy Caesar, no Poop Baby, no scallop fingers. Mm-mm. If the players are funny, cut them to be even funnier, but make them funny people. Don't make the comedy at their expense. That to me is like a cardinal sin.
Yeah. Oh, scallop fingers. That was tough.
Yeah. Or like the night, like, who are you? The night one players. It's never who are you. It's like, oh God, so good to see you again.
And they made Mad Chad shit his pants too.
Yeah. All of that. Like, you can't do it. You can't have dates designed to make them look like fools. The human churros and all that stuff. You can't do this.
Human taco.
And unfortunately, this means Wells Adams has to go. He's got to go. You can't have him going on podcast saying the funniest thing he's ever seen in his life is when one of your superstar players gets demolished by a wave. That's not what the show is. It is now, but it can't be that. It cannot be that. And his jokes, I'm sorry to say, are not good.
I don't think if he is the lead comedy producer, I don't think that's a good choice.
He shouldn't even be on camera, in my opinion. He is part of the old paradise.
We do think, by the way, it's nothing personal to Wells, but I do think you need to get rid of the bartender rule.
Yes.
I think that it lowers DLP's prestige. He should just be hosting. He is the empathetic king. Maybe have celebrity guests, legacy players dropping in to host challenges, but
yes.
We don't need this strange other semi-host.
It's kind of part of that, like, it's a sitcom. The tone they're trying to convey.
Mm-hmm. The truth box.
Yeah, the truth box was terrible. The tone they're trying to convey.
Like, no, but the truth box stays.
Okay, yeah, you can keep the truth box, but that's it.
No, I'm joking.
The tone they're trying to convey with this show is a 1980s multicam sitcom. It's everything from the title sequence to the funny bartender who's cracking jokes. You just can't have it anymore. That A, is not interesting to us as a fourth audience in a dating show, and B, is nowhere on television anymore. The multicam sitcom is dead.
Yeah.
It's just a, it's yeah. so antiquated. It's like vaudeville at this point. You can't have a dating format in the year 2024 mimicking a sitcom from 1984.
No. The format needs to at least somewhat mock how people actually date in real life at this point. And telling a bartender about their, about all of their feelings and love triangles, it's not, it's giving clown behavior.
Who, by the way, is always sweating constantly. I mean, that's another thing to tack on to change the location.
Who?
Get a place where people aren't sweating in every shot, in my opinion.
Oh.
Well. Anyway, the comedy team must go.
I don't know if I agree with that one.
I simply think their ideas are bad, almost always, and they're poorly executed, almost always, and it's just unnecessary.
No wigs making fun of players
yeah.
who don't even appear on camera.
And that was just some kind of vindictive thing.
I would say cut that. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Don't be mad at your players. Your players are your stars. Without them, you have nothing. The quality of your product is literally only as good as your players' quality. And yes, you can edit them to make them look better or worse or whatever, but you have these superstars coming out of Bachelor Season 28. I mean, utter superstars. The top 10 mm-hmm. of that season are really unlike anything we've seen in any specific season. There might be a standout player here or there, but...
And that's why we need this Bachelor in Paradise season so badly.
I agree.
We can't let this talent get away like we did with Popeye's season.
Oh, God. Madison Pruitt and Hannah Celeste Sand. Can you imagine?
There were so many good players on that season. We didn't get Paradise because of freaking COVID.
I know.
Speaking of modernization, our number 7 item is let the players have their phones. Love is blind does it. You got to do it. And make social media a part of the show in a way that we all already know it is. This is what we're talking about with the don't treat us like we're stupid. They are all influencers. Put the follower counts of the players on screen next to their names with their chyrons. Casting is considering players' social media to be their resume. So do we. We go over them every season. And they discuss social media followers on all of these other shows. You're constantly seeing people on Love Island be like, hey, what's your Instagram like? How many followers do you have? And this is also how the fourth audience votes for their favorites during and after the show. First, with the eyeballs on the Nielsen ratings, and then the thumbs on the phones. And let the players make trending social media in-game. Then the show will get more free engagement. This is, again, you can't be anti-social media. This is how people stay engaged with the show.
Yeah, it's a part of the show.
This is how they're connecting to it. This is how it becomes a lifestyle like it is for us.
Yeah, the vilification of social media, which I would argue has like kind of always been a part of The Bachelor since social media really started to happen. But it came to a head, obviously, with Brenna Marais and Piper James in, I believe that was season 7 of BIP, where Grocery and his gang of disgruntled females had to excommunicate them from Paradise forever. And also excommunicate Chris Connor and Alana Milne because supposedly they met each other at some party before Paradise was airing. And now they're together and we're just married. Engaged, sorry, yeah.
Now they're engaged. An engagement.
But this is kind of it goes, I think, kind of in the category of like, the show needs to get with the times. Bachelor is an old show.
Yeah.
It was created before smartphones existed in the year 2002, before any social media really existed. Paradise kind of came into being in 2014, sorry, in the same kind of time when Instagram really started to take off. And I think there was always this fight in the producer's mind of like, well, we have to ignore that, this thing that's happening, social media. Fuck it, that's not a part of this. And if you use it, you're evil.
This thing that's affecting how and why people are going on our show.
Yes, embrace it. make it a part of the show. You don't have to make it a part of traditional Bachelor and Bachelorette. I get that. It's a closed environment. You forfeit your civil rights. I understand all of that. But Paradise can't be like that. Let them have their phones. Let them be DMing with each other on the beach. Let them be reading shit to each other off their phones.
Let us read those DMs.
Exactly. Let them have their phones.
Let us see those pics.
And the clause is not you have to give us your phone. The clause is you have to give us access to your phone. You're recording their screens 24/7.
Yeah.
And you get to put that shit in the show if you want. That's part of it.
I mean, they give the Love Island players like fake phones on the show that they can just use to like take pictures.
Yeah, give them a Paradise phone. Great. That works too.
Yeah.
But you got to let them have phones. You just got to. It seems so bizarre. When you're watching like a big group of people like in Paradise, just like laying around, drinking margaritas, staring at the sky, watching each other like lift rocks on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. They need phones. It looks weird for them to not have phones. Bachelor, the main games are a little different. For some reason, I'm like okay with them being sequestered and not having phones in that. But
no, I think they should have phones. I think they should have phones on that too.
All right, maybe. All right, shall we move on?
Free the hashtag free the phone. Speaking of making people do stuff they don't do when they're normally dating people, our number 8 item, change the fuck or flee round or get rid of it entirely. Do not make people do fake breakups just to get back together immediately after the show ends. Let everyone have an overnight date if they want. Keep everyone there, even if they're not going to propose. They all can have a party for the people who do propose. And you end it on this big high note with everyone who is there that season supporting the couples that did make it through this.
Yes. The cast is the cast. 20 people. That's it. And you may have a couple of people eliminating. Like you might have somebody going down the road of a 4TR relationship and they get heartbroken and they're like, I can't stay here, and they leave. That's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. They lose the love triangle.
Yes. Don't. The Rose game to me is like, it also feels very antiquated. It's very weird and forced. And we see that the producers manipulate it to their end. Like when Natasha Parker was given a rose by Big Polly to have her stay on the show. Like the roses don't matter. We know they're fake. We know the producers control it all.
Yeah.
When you're seeing like a friend rose being given out or whatever, that's like they go up to Braden and they're like, you got to give Rachel Recchi a rose so she can stay around. And then he does it. The roses just are kind of a meaningless thing. And they need to go away, in my opinion. It's 20 players there.
I agree. And they're heteronormative. And
for the most part, they did let Demi give a same-sex rose.
I know, but that was like a special exception. It should be built in the show that you can partner with whoever you want.
Yeah, but I don't think we need the roses. I don't think we need the rose ceremony because it's the weird thing about the rose ceremony is this, in my opinion. The whole idea of Bachelor in Paradise is that it's like these people are really dating for real and they're trying to fall in love. And also, here's this weird scoring system that you have to win this game component of it. Obviously, I'm all for it being a game, but the rose ceremony in Paradise, at least, is this weird half step toward like, well, is this a game or is it not a game? And what's a friendship rose? And why is Natasha Parker getting a rose out of nowhere?
And people tend to go safer with their decisions because they're like, well, this person has been my friend for longer. They were first sand. I can't really vote off someone first sand.
Yes. It is all very bizarre. I agree. But, oh, sorry. I think I skipped ahead. That was going to be our number 9 one, the no more roses. We're on number 8, right? Am I crazy?
Wait, we did number 8.
Did we?
That's change the makeup or breakup.
Yeah, the makeup or breakup. You let everybody basically stay there till the end. Whatever. We can just move on. Our number 9.
Wait, I thought we were already talking about roses.
Were we? I guess they kind of go hand in hand. You know what I mean? The
okay.
We'll just move on to it. I think I skipped ahead accidentally, but maybe we didn't. Maybe we were there.
Honestly, I lost track of what you were saying. I don't know where you were.
I just get so amped up when I'm trying to save Bachelor in Paradise that time.
I know. Look, I'm amped too. I feel stressed. I
do too.
Felt stressed doing this. I'm like, well, I really want to make sure we get everything.
I know.
So that we really save it.
I agree. Look, and I'll just say this to the producers who may or may not be listening. What we are pitching here is drastic change. I'm well aware of that. And I know that there's an attitude, especially in network TV, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, Bachelor in Paradise is broken. It needs fixing. And this is a way to do it that I think will yield great results for you.
Yes. And the rebrand will get in people who have maybe never checked out Bachelor because it's so old, but they have watched Love is Blind. I know so many people who only watch Love is Blind, have never watched Bachelor.
Same. But back to this no roses thing. This was our number 9 thing. So we are basically saying to do away with the most fundamental game mechanic of your game because it's old and it doesn't work. And we've seen you manipulate it enough, like the Natasha Parker rose, that it doesn't hold water. If the game, it would be like if you're playing a basketball game and the referees just like stop the game and they're like, just give that team 25 points. They win. Wait, what? But they didn't score those points. So you have invalidated the roses through your own machination. They now need to be done away with. And here's what replaces them. A brand new mechanic. This is how the show works now. 20 players show up. At the end of every day, you have to partner with someone. This can be a romantic partnership. It can be two friends. It can be whatever. But you have to be a partner with someone. The next morning, you all compete in challenges. Similar to Perfect Match, you can set up fun little things on the beach. They can be trivia contests, running obstacle course, whatever. Reality TV type stuff. Like what they do in Traders too. That all that works fine. You're doing these kinds of games. And you're competing again as pairs against everybody. So 10 pairs are competing in these games. The winner of each challenge gets, listen to this, a date card. And even if this is a platonic pairing, like I'm imagining Aaron Clancy and James Bonsall getting to go into the hotel and eat a nice steak dinner together. And that's going to be funny as hell.
Go ride horses, you know, through the water.
Exactly. And it adds this interesting element, I think, to the game mechanic that is like, well, wait a minute. Is a couple that's like trying to stay in this 4TR going to win these challenges and get these dates or not? And if they don't, it doesn't really matter because you can still focus.
Best friendship wins.
Exactly. Best friendship wins. But you can also focus on the 4TR love relationships just on the beach or wherever they are. You can cut the show into whatever you want. It's going to give you a massive amount of footage and a massive amount of story to be told because the couple.
Yeah.
Isn't beholden to getting a date card, isn't beholden to exchanging roses. They can actually play out their relationship in real time with one another, and maybe there's another player that comes in and wants to shoot their shot or whatever, but you're not locked into this weird game structure that doesn't make any sense anyway, in my opinion.
In my opinion as well, I also think that this eliminates the weird element of that it has to be hetero relationships. I know we haven't really gotten there with the main game yet, but just in terms of catching up in 2024, I mean, we're watching fucking Ultimatum, Queer Ultimatum. That show was amazing.
Yeah, it was the highest or most viewed of all the Ultimatums as well.
As it should be, as someone who watched the other ones.
Lesson learned, right?
Which were tough.
Lesson not learned. Then the next season was back to hetero. I'm like, what are you doing? You got gold here. You just keep doing that.
I know. That's a mistake. We'll save how to save Queer Ultimatum.
I don't think they need our help. They just need to make that show again.
I'm just kidding. It's perfect. Our number 10 item on our list, how to save Bachelor in Paradise, is resurrection cards. One man and one woman from each season can win crash cards that they can use to crash a future season of Bachelor or Bachelorette. This is a fan favorite, and we get to vote who gets the resurrection card, who we want to see on the next season. I think that incorporating the fourth audience is something that a lot of these other shows are doing as well. Mm-hmm. Love Island, mostly, just constantly incorporating them. And I want to be voting. I want to be voting on things that are happening in the cast.
Me too. Bachelor has tried to do it. America's Fimp. We saw that disaster. But this is a way to do it that, in my opinion, actually works. Because the votes can be over the course of a season or whatever. You set up the voting whenever, make it an actual vote, not we're going to count the hashtags on Twitter. It's got to be a real thing that is objective.
And then not count them.
Yeah. And then those two people get their cards. Their you can crash a season card. It's up to them if they want to use it, and they may not. What if they fall in love immediately after Paradise with somebody else?
But they should. They just throw it in a fire.
Yeah. They throw it in a bonfire.
They just can't give out cards on the show at all anymore.
You just don't know what the outcome of giving that person that card would be, but they have the opportunity to come back into the main game. That is fascinating to me because we always see people crashing seasons, and in prior seasons it has been like, Vial was DMing with Caitlin Bristow, the big sin, don't use social media, but he was able to use that to crash his season. Like Moines did it on Katie Thurston's season. We saw Heather Martin attempt to do it on Matt James's season.
Your boy Bukowski tried to do it a bunch of times.
Bukowski. Not Bukowski.
Oh, Heather Martin.
Poor Bukowski. And poor Heather Martin, Pizza Head. You know, I'll always remember her for that at this point. No. But these crashings seem, they're almost like antithetical to the game of it. It's either like, well, this player has been talking with the Bachelor or Bachelorette, like behind the scenes through social media, mm-hmm. maybe has an unfair advantage and that's why they're coming in. Or it's like Heather Martin that just seems like a completely bonehead producer idea.
No, they have to say they have an unfair advantage to justify it.
Exactly. Whereas this is exactly the opposite. It's, we want to see this person come back. So you know it's not going to be a bad move.
I want there to be more, honestly, all-stars in the main game. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand why they don't bring characters back more.
Totally.
All-stars on a second tour, like,
yeah,
they're still looking for love, and it's people we already know, so we're already invested. I don't get a lot of those decisions.
I don't either.
Maybe like they're less easy to manipulate or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there's some of the behind the scenes stuff we will never know with regard to those decisions.
Yeah.
But what we have outlined here are 10 things that we think are crucial. I mean, the resurrection cards are just kind of an idea, I guess. They're not maybe as important as the other stuff.
They're crucial.
Okay. I just think it's a...
If there's not resurrection cards, I'm going to consider this a failure.
Yeah. I just think the resurrection cards are, to me, a better way to involve audience participation than they've ever done on Bachelor. Because it is this thing that's like, well, you want to watch the whole season of Bachelor in Paradise to see who you really like. And also, if somebody winds up in a relationship at the end of Paradise, it's not going to be that person. You can only vote the people who are like heartbroken, who wound up getting the biggest victimization edits at the end. That's who we're going to vote for, by and large, I would assume. And now you get to bring that person back in. And that's a narrative that brings you from Paradise back into...
Give them a second chance.
Bachelor.
Yeah.
So it's a thread that connects all of your main shows. That's why I think it's good.
It's like when they did Listen to Your Heart and didn't have a single person come back who was a musician.
Yeah, absolutely insane.
It's just a big missed op.
I completely agree with you. But we hope that these suggestions have landed somewhere with somebody who hears them out and can do anything about them.
God.
Okay.
Are you there, God? It's Bachelor Clues and Paige Case with these suggestions for Bachelor in Paradise.
It's like when you're in grade school and they're like, "If what is the first thing you'd do if you were president?" And you're like, I would save Bachelor in Paradise. These ideas are simply ideas, but we do think they're good ones. We personally love Paradise. It is the all-star game of our favorite franchise. We don't want to see it go away.
That's why we're doing this episode.
Yeah, it really is. If we can help in some way, just with brain power, which is what we are giving here, we hope that it can help.
We got 1.5.
We got 1.5 brains? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I'm the half.
Okay, I think we have two full brains. That'll be our new slogan, Game of Roses, two full brains.
Thanks, Clues.
But again, we hope that this is helpful to someone in some way. We are very hopeful that Paradise comes back for a season 10. It would be such a disservice to these outstanding players from season 28.
I That is, it's like they're going to not, it's like they're going to stop the NFL when there's all these college team kids that are so good and we just want to see them play in the NFL, but it is gone.
And I would even see for casting, like maybe there would be some outliers, you know, if somebody doesn't want to come to Paradise or whatever, fine, then you got to get somebody to slot them in. But I would literally just take the top 10 players that were not the ring winner. And I would go down that list and be like, invite, 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 invite. And if somebody says, I don't want to do it, you just notch it down one more and you keep going like that.
Notch down. Yeah.
That's how I would cast every season.
But no, don't notch down to the old seasons, though.
Yes.
Don't notch down that far.
No one can come back from those. They are dead. They are buried. Let them rest. Let them rest. But that's it.
Let them rest with no resurrection card.
That is, unless it's Blake Moynes coming back as Bachelor, that is our How to Save Bachelor in Paradise episode. We can't thank you enough for joining us, whoever may have joined us to hear these ideas. And we'll be back on Friday with a brand new This Week in Bachelor Nation covering all the stuff that's been going on parasocially, in the news, et cetera, et cetera. Until then, Pace Case, what is that dwab at?
It's been 8,051 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.